Today marks the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination. All month long, the Alabama Public Radio News team has been examining Dr. King's work and his impact here in Alabama. You've heard a photographer from Montgomery recall documenting King's work. APR guest reporter Usman Zagara sharing how people in his nation of Mali remembered Dr. King. You also heard about the house where King hid from white supremacists just days before his assassination. Now, APR's Alex Aubuchon reports on another place in Alabama connected to Dr. King and how his influence is being felt by a new generation.
It was a day I never forget.
We met Teresa Burroughs earlier in our series.
I will never, ever forget that day and the beating that I took that day.
Burroughs owns the Civil Rights Safe House, where King hid from armed Klansmen in March of 1968. That wasn't her first brush with the Civil Rights Movement.
It'll be detrimental to your safety to continue this march, and I'm saying that this is an unlawful assembly.
On March 7th, 1965, Burroughs and around 600 more civil rights activists, most of them black, marched from Brown Chapel in Selma, hoping to reach Montgomery. They wanted to protest measures aimed at preventing African Americans from voting. They were met on the Edmund Pettus Bridge by police batons and tear gas.
Go home or go to your church. This march will not continue.
You know, we were just knocked everywhere. They just beat the hell out of us.
That day became known as Bloody Sunday, and every year civil rights advocates gather in Selma to retrace those marchers' steps across the Edmund Pettus Bridge and remember their sacrifice. The bridge is often the focal point of Bloody Sunday, but just a mile and a half away, there's another monument to the fight for voting rights.
This is the house that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. lived as he planned the Selma to Montgomery March.
The house is Juwanna Jackson's family home, which has remained virtually unchanged since the mid-1960s. For a few months, it essentially became the headquarters for the civil rights movement.
And of course, our lives changed drastically from a house that had a mother and a father and a little girl. Almost overnight became a house where the world came in.
Juwanna was about 5 at the time.
And I wish I had been just a little older to understand the gravity, to understand the historical significance. To the world, he was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. To me, he was Uncle Martin.
Juwanna runs the Jackson House as a museum and foundation, and it's filled with artifacts from the era.
Of the beds in this house, of course, Uncle Martin slept in every one. And over the years, my mother, for practical purposes, bought new mattresses and box springs. But this is the original mattress and box spring that was on the bed when he was here.
Photos of King and countless other historical figures fill the walls of the Jackson House.
This is the room in which Dr. King and his lieutenants booted up the morning of the second march.
The bill that I am presenting to you will be known as a civil rights bill.
And then there's the spot where King saw all this effort pay off.
Because all Americans just must have the right to vote. And we are going to give them that right.
The museum contains the very chair, the very television that Dr. King was sitting in the night that President Johnson announced that he would indeed sign the Voting Rights Act, which he did several months later in August of 1965.
You heard so much about the march, but not what went on behind the scenes.
That's Alicia George. She's part of a group of students from Trinity Washington University that toured the Jackson House.
In a country that's supposed to be the home of the free, people are still not free.
George is African-American and came to the U.S. from the Caribbean as a child. She's a DACA recipient, and she says there are parallels between the 1960s and today's debates over immigration.
They weren't free back then because of the color of their skin, and now they're not free because somebody else made a decision that they didn't make, and they're being punished for it. And I believe that just as Dr. Martin Luther King and the others stood up for the rights of African Americans to be able to vote and be a people, that God's going to raise up somebody to stand up for these young people, that they too can be free to live in this country that's supposed to be the home of the free.
Teresa Burroughs says she hates to see young people of color taking their right to vote for granted, especially considering what she and others went through.
Somebody cried for them. and somebody died for them and didn't even know their name, and yet they won't go and vote.
Burroughs may have reason to be concerned. Attendance for this year's Bridge Crossing Jubilee was down sharply compared to 2015. That was the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday, which drew huge crowds. However, young people like Elisa George seem to be recognizing Burroughs' sacrifice, and her call to action may be getting through. I'm Alex Aubuchon, Alabama Public Radio News in Selma, Alabama.